This is Sportsnet Today with Logan Gordon on your official home of the Flames, Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
Kicking off hour two of Sportsnet today. Logan Gordon here along with you. Reminder, you can get the show wherever you get your podcasts. Google, Amazon, Spotify, your favorite podcatcher. Every show available for you just moments after the hour ends. We're coming to you live from the Doug Lacey's Basement Systems downtown studios here in Calgary, Alberta, Canada. Cam and Taylor, the outstanding production team with me on this Wednesday afternoon. Coming off a Flames win last night against the Anaheim Ducks. 5-1 the final. A major bounce back for the team. Following that embarrassing performance on Monday against the Kings. And a much-needed win for the group last night as the out-of-town scoreboard did not give any favors to the Calgary Flames. Nashville picked up a big win. Winnipeg picked up a win. And if you want to go a step further, even the Seattle Kraken picking up a win in a three-point matchup against the Dallas Stars. We'll head back to Anaheim here for some post-game thoughts from head coach Daryl Sutter, Troy Stetcher, and Michael Backlund. But before we get there, the question now remains for this Calgary Flames team. What happens Thursday against the Vegas Golden Knights as they kick off a three-game homestand? Good response, a needed response. I think you could have made a case last night that if you haven't already, and if you have, I don't blame you, but I think last night had the potential to be one of those wave the white towel moments for the Calgary Flames. That would have been two losses in the same month to the Anaheim Ducks and an out-of-town scoreboard that, like I mentioned and just ran through, did you absolutely no favors. If you go come out of last night with 2 points, it absolutely could have been a backbreaker for this team. Now, that being said, and the biggest problem that this team has in front of them is I have no idea what team we get tomorrow. I have a pretty good idea that a Vegas team that suffered a 7-2 loss at the hands of the Calgary Flames a week ago will be very motivated to come into Calgary and extract a piece of revenge from that loss. But I just don't know what the Flames are going to be. You can jump into the conversation, 960-960, the fan feedback line, always open to you here on Sportsnet today. Questions, comments, concerns, queries. If you need recipe advice from Cam, he'll even give you some of that. Text line open for everything here.
That's a bad idea.
Not everything. Some things.
Yeah, I would be scared to get recipes from Cam and like cooking advice.
I would be too.
Yeah. Don't strike me as much of a chef de cuisine over there.
Considering that he spills his ramen every day.
Not every day. We've learned. We've adapted. We're past that.
After I told you to.
The nutritional value of ramen.
Through the roof.
Spicy chicken?
No, it's like Costco with like chicken in there and some good stuff. Yeah.
Can't be packed with preservatives or things to make that chicken live. No,
never.
That's not good. So maybe don't text in for recipe advice, but all the other stuff at 960-960. Game by game for the Calgary Flames? Sure. Want to go on a winning streak? Absolutely. To me, what Thursday night is against Vegas is a big indicator for this team. Because all year long, especially at home, when it's come to these big moments for this team, you just don't know what to expect. Could I absolutely see them continuing some of that momentum that they picked up against Anaheim into Thursday's game? Sure, I could. But I also remember a team that was flat against Anaheim at home earlier this month. A pretty listless game against the Minnesota Wild came at home back on March 4th. This team has to find a way to turn this into a run. And you can only handle it one game at a time. I totally understand that. And it might not matter at the end of it. You could win out here if you're the Calgary Flames. It might not matter. The games in hand that Nashville has, the points that Winnipeg is up on you. I just think it's incredibly important for this team to find a way to make this work. The last four games of the month, you go Vegas, San Jose, LA, and Vancouver. Again, every opportunity to make this work. Right? On paper. You just beat Vegas last week. San Jose is a bottom feeder in the league this year. You'd think you are out for revenge against an LA team that whooped you on Monday night. And you've got Vancouver on the last day of the month, who admittedly have been better than the team most of the year under Rick Tocchet. But still, I'm curious as to what's going to happen on Thursday, almost as much as I've been any game, because I still think the games matter. I know there are plenty of fans on Team Tank that would rather just see this season, the last 10 games of the year, wind up in the L column and move on to next season. I just don't find that realistic. There is still a mathematical chance that this happens. Whether that's a good thing or a bad thing in your mind, Winnipeg has far from stolen this thing from the Calgary Flames. Nashville still has something to say about this with those games in hand. So until we get to that point, I think it's still a fair question to ask what exactly this Flames team is going to put on the ice, notably Thursday against the Vegas Golden Knights. But let's flash back to Anaheim last night. Let's hear from the head coach, Daryl Sutter, his thoughts on a bounce-back performance from his team against the Ducks.
Coach, your thoughts on the bounce-back effort?
Good effort. Good game. Guys came in, did a really good job for us.
Anything in particular stand out about the start here tonight? I mean, obviously,
good to see Big Nick score first shift. So it's good. It's nice to score the first goal on the road.
Good to see Troy get his first goal with your team.
Yeah, Troy's given us some energy. He's did a good job for us.
You've talked a little bit over the past couple of years about a certain target for how many goals you need from your blue line.
Yeah.
You're getting that now. Are you pretty pleased with what you're seeing right now?
Yeah, I don't know if it's, you know, I've always been on that 35-ish range. If you don't have that stud guy who gets you that 15 goals, now you're seeing some of them with 20, so I'm sure it'll bump up as you go, but I'm not even sure what our number is. It's probably close to 40, though.
Yeah, you're at 39.
Yeah.
You had to kind of go back to a couple of different pairings just with the situation tonight. What did you make of the blue line?
You know what? Gibby came in and did a good job for us, and Z's going to have to give us some minutes. He's got to be a solid player. Noah and Ross are used to playing with each other, and there goes Weeks again, other side.
Just moving him around. Yeah. Nice to have that, though, I assume, as a coach, just to be able to have that option wherever you need it.
Yep, darn right. You guys know how I feel about McKenzie's since All-Star. He's been a pretty good player for us.
There enough games left to build something from here to the end?
You know, you got to go game at a time, because if you don't, then like last night it was there was literally guys in here that were pulling the puck. So you got to go, it's really simple. You know, you just want to keep every game meaningful, quite honest.
You know, the head coach of the Calgary Flames, his thoughts following a big win for the team against the Anaheim Ducks last night. Strong performances from Dan Vladar. The deep pairings mixed up a bit thanks to Chris Tanev being out with an upper body injury. Still no update on the team as to how long that might go, but Dennis Gilbert, as you heard from the coach, an admirable job stepping into the lineup after a while being out. He paired up with Troy Stetcher, who had his first goal as a Flame last night. 16:50 into period number one, which gave him that two-goal lead heading into the second period. Anderson, Lindholm, and Japani all helping with goals. And a banner night for Tyler Toffoli in just 13:50 of ice time, three assists, five shots on goal. And what else can you say about the guy who has just been the most consistent driving, offense-driving player that this team has had all year long? And that pairing with Elias Lindholm, doesn't matter who's been on their left side, he has gotten the job done. Tyler Toffoli with a career year here for the Calgary Flames, and he continued it last night with those three assists. Another strong night as well from Michael Backlund. He led the forward group in ice time, 19:31. Just about 3 minutes of power play and shorthanded time for Backs, who added two assists and four shots on goal. He also spoke to the media last night following the win in Anaheim.
Michael, we just talked this morning, but you know, the way that your group responded here tonight, what did you make of it?
Yeah, it was a better effort tonight. I thought we came out, you know, scoring right away helps get the boys going. I thought we had some good jump right away and took charge of the game.
Yeah, what's it about the start? I mean, obviously the goal early, but maybe just the way you carried it on from there.
Yeah, no, I mean, we talked about it, having two bad starts in a row. We knew we had to be better, so and yeah, scoring right away always helps. Give some energy to the group. but yeah, no, you know, we wanted to come out and show that we're better than last night, and last night wasn't good enough and wasn't acceptable, and yeah, we wanted to rebound from that.
It seemed like kind of all facets too, in terms of not giving up a lot either. Playing with the puck, I would assume, big part of tonight's game for you guys, just to kind of control and dictate things at your level.
Yeah, no, it's total opposite from last night. Last night we barely touched the puck, and tonight we had a lot more. So, yeah, that's how we want to play.
Michael, the last stretch, nine games, you got points in seven of your last nine. I think there's a misnomer that you guys have, you know, really struggled down the stretch here. But would you agree that you probably played some pretty good hockey, certainly in the last 9 or 10 games?
Yeah, no, I agree with that. There's been like two games and then one tough one and then a couple of other good ones. And I mean, right off the top of my head, obviously last night in Arizona at home against Anaheim, three games to stand out, that wasn't good enough. And but other than that, I think, yeah, like you said, lately we've been playing some pretty good hockey.
Your team doesn't have a lot of room for error here in these final few. What's it like to play knowing you don't have a lot of... can't really afford to lose
them anymore? No, I mean, it's exciting time. It's the best time of the year. Getting closer to playoffs, fighting for our lives here. It's exciting. Everyone gets a little more jacked up and ready to go. You know, it's yeah, I enjoy it. I think it's a great time of the year.
300 assists last night, I think, and then I think a new career high tonight in terms of helpers for you here set tonight. Anything in particular stand out about you know, those numbers or those milestones?
It feels good always hitting big milestones, like the hundreds, 300 assists. I mean, it's a tough night to get it. Personally, and the team wasn't playing at our best or not even close. And looking back when I started my career, I don't know if I was expecting myself to get that, you know, many assists. And the way things started in my career. So, I'm excited I reached it.
There you go, Michael Backlund. Another strong performance from him. Two assists in the win last night, and he's just been a great performer all year long for this team. Him and Blake Coleman forming a strong pairing there. Still waiting for Jonathan Huberdeau maybe to find a bit of his offensive edge with that group, but he had an assist last night. Backlund and Coleman helping lead the way to a Flames victory last night. To the text line at 960-960. Some thoughts on last night from you, the texters listening live. Fan feedback line always open to you. Jose in Calgary texted in a little bit earlier saying, last time we spanked Vegas, they're going to be out for blood tomorrow night. Got to be ready for that for sure. The start going to be very important for the Calgary Flames. This takes a great show, guys. It is frustrating. This team can play well and play with the elite of the elite in the league and dominate them as they have throughout the season. But the lapse and the inconsistency that we all keep alluding to, it can get frustrating. 100%. That's the main reason why I'm sitting here wondering what team we get tomorrow from the Calgary Flames and what exactly it looks like against the Vegas Golden Knights after a strong performance against Anaheim. Can you keep that rolling into a home game against a good opponent? We'll find out tomorrow. This stick says, hey, Logo, based on pure math, I believe the Flames have to win at least 7 of their last 10 games and get one loser point to even have a shot, considering how many games in hand Nashville has and Winnipeg being 4 points ahead being the biggest problem, as Calgary has not been able to string their wins together all year long. It's going to take a mini miracle for them to make the playoffs. I agree 100% with that. It is not favorable math for the Calgary Flames. But given that they have a game against Winnipeg and a game against Nashville still on the docket late in the season here as we enter April, there's still a chance. And I think given the expectations, given the veteran nature of this group, until that math reads, 99.9% to 100%, you're not getting in. I have a hard time seeing this team take their foot off the pedal, if you will. Again, whether you agree with that approach or not, you're open to it. But I would just, the only thing that would give me extra hope in this is that both of those teams haven't closed the door on Calgary. Now Nashville will have an opportunity as they use those games in hand on Calgary to do so. But as of right now, it's not like Winnipeg has stormed through here and widened the gap. It's been 4 points going back to like a week ago, maybe even a little bit longer than that. So the Jets haven't found a way to close this out either. Flames just have to find a way to remain in this. What do we got here? This one says, Logo, I'm sure relieved to see Mangiapane score a meaningful goal. Thoughts on that one last night? Yeah, it was a great one. And that was exactly the kind of goal last year that Andrew Mangiapane scored on. It felt like all the time. That was a great up pass from Toffoli, I believe it was, that got his third assist on that. And you got a quick reminder of the skill that Andrew has in tight, the hands that he has. He is still a good finisher. Do I think he's a 35 goal guy year after year? No, I don't. But I also think he's a better finisher than he's been this year. I think to a certain degree he's been snake bitten and a bit unlucky that he doesn't have more than 14 on the season. But yeah, if that can spark Andrew a bit going into these last 10 games for the Calgary Flames, you will take that. Because that sort of secondary scoring can only be a good thing for the Calgary Flames. I hope it means something for him. I know the guy works his tail off. He's as frustrated as anybody. And look, the basics of it, if you take the person away from it and you take away the work and everything, is, yeah, it's a guy at $5.7 million this year with 14 goals. And you need more production from that sort of cap number. But when you take into account who it is and what he's done, I think you certainly know that the effort's been there from Andrew. It just hasn't gone his way as much as he'd like this year, as much as fans would like. Hopefully that goal last night can be a jump start for him. This text says, as we were talking about, sort of the back and forth inconsistency of this team, this text at 960 says, anyone who says they've made money betting on the Flames this season is either extremely lucky or a flat-out liar. Yeah, I think best bets with Pat would probably be the best. But he mixes in some other things on Flames Talk. So I don't know that Pat's made any money doing that, but yeah, it would not be a team. I'll put it this way. This would not be a team that I would enjoy betting on a daily basis. Would make my head hurt. Because there are games that they absolutely should win that you think are home runs, slam dunk, chance to bet on the team, and it goes the other way. And before we get out of here for this segment, I was jokingly telling you to ask Cam for recipes and ramen recipes. One of you actually did at 960-960. Now, Cam, you said one thing that makes sense to me.
All right, what was that?
And that's to go to a proper restaurant,
yeah,
and have a chef do it.
Let someone who's actually knowing what they're talking about do it for you.
But
absolutely.
The one thing that doesn't make any sense to me is you also recommended to this person to sprinkle a bit of cheese on their ramen.
Yeah. I know. Listen, I know it's a cardinal sin. I know it is. But it's so good. You can't not do it.
I think you cannot do it.
I mean, you can't, but you're missing out.
I'm okay with that.
You know what? I don't think Cam gets an opinion because he likes green bananas.
What?
That has been a topic of conversation here
before. No, I just like my bananas properly ripened.
Which would mean when they're yellow.
Yeah.
But Taylor says you like them when they're green.
No, absolutely not.
I thought we established this earlier. I thought there was this whole...
This was a whole thing. That he does not like spotty bananas, which is the wrong way.
Cam, defend yourself.
There's nothing wrong with a little bruise. You just cut it out. Go for the rest of it.
Yeah, you're...
There's nothing wrong with it. I don't know why I'm being attacked.
I don't know. Your food takes are scaring me. The cheese ramen, I don't know about. That one's...
Yeah, the texter comes back in. They've had cheese on ramen before. It's good. I'm not the only one.
I've never heard of that, though. I don't think that's...
Listen, when you're in college or university, things get desperate. You try things that you're probably not proud of.
Are you in college or university right now?
I was.
Are you right now?
And that's
now
where I learned how to do it.
The last time that you put cheese on ramen, were you in college or university?
No, but well, that's where I learned how to do it.
I love going to school.
We all did things in college that we didn't want to, but then we grew up, Cam, and stopped doing them.
This is why I liked going to school online. My parents still cook for me.
Wow. It's just like Cam's indifference for it. Like, yeah, I did it because I was in college and you had to do things to make it gourmet. Do you still do it? Yeah, I still do it today. Well, you're out of college.
I'm not.
It's too good. Get a proper bowl of ramen.
It's too good. I don't know, man.
I don't believe you.
It's like proper shredded cheese, though. Like, just a little bit. Pretty fine.
I see, as Matt and Cochran points out, I'm just imagining you dropping like a Kraft single.
Just a honk of cheese.
Into your
just
ramen. That's kind of how I see it, too. Yeah.
No, you get like the grater, you grate a little cheese on it, just a little fine.
But what kind of cheese is the biggest question here?
I usually go mozzarella, but that's just a personal thing. I think you go what?
That feels
whatever you
like
want.
Such a bad idea.
That is the wrong answer.
Go cheddar. Have fun with it. Experiment. It's ramen.
I'm not a ramen expert, but I feel like that's crossing a lot of boundaries when it comes to that style of cuisine. I don't know what to say about that.
What to say is you're wrong.
No,
right.
I don't know. I don't know about that.
We need a ramen expert to text in and let us know.
You're a ramen expert out there. If you've ever made ramen
cheese
in a professional setting.
960-960. Would you put cheese on your ramen? Yes or no?
We'll take a break. Come back on the other side here. Two things to get to before we're out of here. One, the NHLPA released their player poll results. So we'll get you a couple winners from their categories. And two, we're going to involve the text line on an office debate. There has been an office thread of emails in our building regarding microwave etiquette. You get to determine who is right and who is wrong on this office issue for us. NHLPA player poll, that's coming too. And you get to decide who's right and wrong when it comes to microwave etiquette in our office. That's coming up next. Sportsnet Today, Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
You're listening to Sportsnet Today with Logan Gordon on the home of the Flames, Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
All right, wrapping up the hour here on Sportsnet Today. Just two games on the NHL schedule tonight. Flames off until morning skate tomorrow at their game against the Vegas Golden Knights. But a doubleheader on Sportsnet if you're so inclined. How about the Pittsburgh Penguins in Colorado to take on the Avalanche? On across the Sportsnet television network at 6 o'clock. Well, Connor McDavid and the Edmonton Oilers will host the Arizona Coyotes at 8:30 from Edmonton, Sportsnet 1 and Sportsnet West for your viewing pleasures tonight. I'm Logan, along with Taylor and Cam here on Sportsnet Today. This comes out every year from the NHL's Players Association. They do their own poll on different NHL topics, and we get winners and who got votes, who's, you know, the most impactful forward, top defenseman was one. So we thought we'd run through some of them here with you on the program and see if any of these answers surprised anybody. Was there anybody that should have garnered more attention, who maybe was stumped, maybe somebody got more attention than we thought they would? We'll see here on this NHLPA poll. You can chime in with your responses at 960-960. We'll start with an easy one in net. Taylor, I thought this was a pretty easy answer, and it dominated the poll. On ice, you need to win one game. What goalie do you want on your team? 52.3% go Andre Vasilevsky of the Tampa Bay Lightning. Shesterkin, Fleury, Hellebuck, and Sorokin all under 5%. Second straight year, Vasilevsky was the top player's pick, and that's a pretty easy one. He's still one of the best in the league.
I mean, it's not surprising from Vasilevsky. But also, the season that Ullmark is having, him not even being on this list?
Well, not making top five. Remember, there's others that comprised 32.17, but he didn't garner at least 3.2% to make the top five. So
that's surprising to me.
It is. It's some of these are, the players' polls never seem to show, like, they don't show too much recency bias. They're kind of looking at a whole resume, it feels like, more so than the NHL awards, which really do feel like single season ones. These kind of branch out into a wider range of years. Surprising nobody, in a must-win game, which forward do you think would be the most impactful? Austin Matthews, 1.3%. Bergeron, 1.5%. You then go up to Kucherov, McKinnon, Crosby at 11%, but surprising nobody, Connor McDavid comes in atop of this one at 59.3% of player votes. He is, of course, going to run away with the scoring title this year, likely your Hart Trophy MVP at 26 years old. This one I thought was interesting. The Calgary kid dominates the category of top defenseman in the game. How about Cale Makar? 63.9% of players tallied have Cale Makar as the top defenseman in the NHL. You get some supporting vote for Rasmus Dahlin, got 2% of the vote, which, by the way, is a huge, I mean, that's a guy that wouldn't have been on the list not all that long ago. We'll ignore Adam Fox on the list as well for people in Calgary. Carlson makes it at 3.3%. Josi at 6%. Hedman's the next closest at 11.4%. But Makar dominates the top defenseman. Your top stick handler, still Patrick Kane. He's at 46%. He's also second when it comes to best passer. That right goes to Leon Draisaitl at 25%. And Taylor, the one that you were most intrigued by, most complete player. Sidney Crosby at 30.1%. You thought Bergeron should have been higher.
I don't watch a lot of Pens games.
Fair.
But to me, Sidney Crosby is a very offensive player, and you don't see a lot of defense from him. Whereas Bergeron is, you know, he's won the Selke trophy and is always kind of a finalist for that.
Could win it again this year.
Potentially.
Some other fun ones. I like this one. Which female hockey player, current or past, would you most want to play alongside? No surprise, Marie-Philippe Poulin is number one at 27%. Hillary Knight from the United States comes in at 20.5%. Haley Wickenheiser, a big vote-getter in this one, too, from 14.7%. You also had Amanda Kessel and Kendall Coyne Schofield receiving votes. Best NHL ice goes to the Bell Center in Montreal at 35%. Edmonton's Rogers Place actually coming in second at 14.7. So that's a good one for the on-ice one. And then I liked these, too. Some of the off-ice ones. Best road city to have an off day. Vegas at 31.7%.
Whoa! Who would have thought?
Who saw that coming?
New York at 16.3%. Sunrise, Florida, L.A., and Nashville. I can't believe Montreal's not a top five. Maybe it's just the weather. If you go there when it's cold, it's not as fun. It's probably always good in Vegas. But you know it must be an anonymous poll that 31.7% of them told somebody Vegas. Right? Like, that's got to be... There's no way we're releasing names. Marc-Andre Fleury was voted as the NHL's best guy in the locker room. It's kind of a tough one, though, because you haven't played with everybody, right? So you're kind of just picking your best teammate in the locker room that you've ever played with.
Or, like, somebody who is known for being a good teammate.
Yeah, you're kind of just going off reputation, so... And then there was this one, which was just kind of random. And I don't know how you would know this, again, if you weren't teammates with them. But Austin Matthews got the best shoe game vote.
Well, I mean, teams...
9.1%.
Teams do post, like, their arrival fits and stuff like that, so you could see it.
I guess. I just don't know that... If you asked me that, like, even if you asked me here, like, oh... Who's got the best shoe game at 9-6? I don't know what you're wearing. I have no idea what kind of shoes you're wearing. I don't have the slightest clue, let alone somebody that plays somewhere else. You just bash your foot on the desk.
No, didn't happen.
I think it did. So there's some of your most complete players, best defensemen. You can hit on Twitter. The NHLPA's got their full... poll up there. 14 questions in total, down from 15 last year. You can go check that out. No Flames made the list. Womp womp. Not even a secondary vote. They didn't make the top five in any category, so that's too bad. Before we get out of here, we have a office issue that needs to be brought to light. And we're going to settle it on the air. This isn't a ramen debate with Cam and his cheese selections.
That's been solved. We knew I won this one.
We need the fan feedback line at 960-960. I'm going to carefully go about this as to not name names. I'm not blaming anybody in this situation. I'm just curious. We're all in. Most of us have been in office situations in our life where you've got, you know, shared accommodations, shared kitchens. And that's kind of what happened here. So we came into work today, and as we've all gotten at one point in our lives, if you've shared a kitchen area, you've gotten an email from somebody saying, hey, be an adult, right? Clean up the microwave. Don't splatter food all over it. If you're going to be popcorn guy and make popcorn at work, at least make sure you clean up after it. But there was a line in there regarding, get out of here, bros.
This is what you're talking about right now?
Yeah, 100% I am. You can join in on it. There was a line in the email regarding do not microwave smelly foods. Now, another user in the building that we have, because we got the radio stations, we have salespeople, we have a bunch of different people that use all these different kitchen areas throughout our office building. So the email goes out to a large list of people. Somebody replied to all on the microwave etiquette email saying that smelly food is an objective term that our corporate overlords cannot define.
Subjective, Logan, subjective.
Right? They cannot deliver guidelines when it comes to the term smelly foods. Now, there was another bit in there about inflation and we eat what we can afford. Well, that's kind of secondary to this issue. But I'm curious where we come down on this debate. And since Brody's here, he gets to answer it too. Since he likes to come into our conversations and have an opinion on them, he'll share his opinion on the air.
Yeah, great time to walk in on this.
Exactly. You're helping solve office issues, bros. Starting with Cam, because Cam is undoubtedly who started this entire email thread.
Yeah, there's no doubt. It's
microwaving something smelly. Should your office be able to dictate or... how do I want to preface this? Does the replyant who says that the smelly foods is subjective, do they have an argument? Now, they say that, yes, common courtesy, I'm all for that, cleaning up, all of that, but you can't tell me what I consider to be smelly foods.
There's definitely a line, but I think, like, 'cause if it's food, it's food, you know? You can't really be like, oh, you can't cook this. This is too smelly. Like, no, it's just food. But don't go putting crazy, weird stuff in the microwave.
Yes, but what you might consider crazy, weird things in the microwave would be different than someone else.
This is true.
You're leaving too much gray area there.
Mm.
You either get to microwave what you want and clean it up as a respectful human being, or there's just... Because, I mean, someone might consider popcorn smelly food. Right, bros? Like, somebody could sit there and say that's...
Yeah.
Too assaulting to my nostrils.
Like, smell in itself is a spectrum at the end of the day. Like, I don't like the smell of some things, but someone else might really like it, right? Like blue cheese, for example. So, I can't believe this is... We got a text. This is a great question for Brody on the beat, and I just recorded it. I should have gotten the people of Calgary's thoughts on this, but... Yeah, my overall opinion is, like, it's hard to make a judgment call on what is smelly and what's not smelly to begin with. I'll leave it at that.
I think you just go, no fish. That's the only thing.
I don't think you can do that, though.
Fish smells gross.
I don't think you can do that.
But heating up
fish
in the
microwave. That's too restrictive to others, though. Because, again, what one person considers smelly and unmicrowavable could just be regular every day to another person. Do you want the corporate overlords to have that sort of power against you, Taylor?
I don't eat fish. So.
Yes, I know. We know that everything that you... You just ruined the question. Taylor doesn't microwave anything, so it doesn't matter.
Hey, anytime that I have microwaved something, everybody tells me it smells really good. So...
Well, good for you. Isn't it nice to be perfect?
I make good food.
Isn't it nice to be perfect?
I feel like the microwave is a staple of the workplace. You can't use that argument. He's like, you see me using an oven, preparing a gourmet meal?
No, it's the only option you have.
Yeah.
We're not provided with anything else. It's the microwave or cold food.
There is a toaster up there.
That doesn't help for most things.
You can bring a bagel.
You're going to microwave your lasagna? Are you going to put your lasagna in the toaster?
Well, I'm saying you can make a bagel, some toast, if you...
You're too restrictive. There's like four things that you can eat that don't make a smell in the microwave or the toaster. I think I'm with pushback subjective smelly guy. I don't think if you're going to provide a microwave, I think cleanliness is without a doubt a minimum. Like, we can all agree on that, right? Like, clean up after yourselves.
Right. No doubt.
Be an adult. If you leave tomato sauce all over it, you're a terrible human being. Grab a paper towel. But I don't think you can tell people what to microwave and what they can't. Where is the line, Brody? There is no line.
Like, okay, if it's fish, I understand. Like, but if the only thing I have is fish for some reason, and I need to have lunch to, you know, be a basic healthy human being, I'll do it. I've never done it, and I probably won't, because I won't put myself in that position. But you just can't, like, rip somebody for it, you know? For the smell. Cleanliness, obvious. Yes. But you gotta just think of the smell as a spectrum, and maybe we more clearly identify those borders instead of just general smelly foods. Because I don't know what constitutes a smelly food.
Technically, every food is a smelly food. In a way, every food has a smell.
This is true.
But whether you like that smell or not is...
It's too subjective. Just don't put metal in the microwave and clean up after yourself.
By the way, that's a real office problem. That's a real email thread that happened today that I just brought up on air to simply weigh in on. There's two guys that are very upset about it. Sports radio. So sometimes life comes on air. I'm sorry. I needed someone to talk to about this. So I brought it to the people. Now, here's an interesting one. Someone texts in, shouldn't there be proper ventilation around the microwave so that it doesn't stink up the office? Is that a consideration? Or are we simply blaming the microwave E, or should we not blame the suppliers to not do a good enough job ventilating the food?
You're going too far down the rabbit hole. You have to stop the problem at the source. What goes in must come out.
Disagree. This is such a rude text, but I'm going to read it anyways. I'm with what's her name. People who microwave fish are gross. That's Taylor, by the way.
Hi.
That's such a bad text to read. Cody texts in and says, I love there's one person in your office right now that knows they're the guilty one that caused the email. Exactly. That's what we said, too, when the email came out, was you know one person has caused this entire thing to happen by not cleaning something up. And they should feel guilty. They should feel shameful. Because that's just awful. Someone says there's an employee that used to warm up prairie oyster. You can't. I think that's over the line, but again, I can't say what you can and can't microwave. Taylor is a communist. Fair.
I really want to ask why.
One hard rule should be no fish or seafood in any kind of communal microwave. Fair. This one says, I'm with what's his name, too subjective.
Thank you.
That's Cam. All food is good food. People complaining should have Vicks at their desk and put it under their nose.
We just need like a can of Febreze.
I feel like that's asking a lot, though. I feel like that's a request that would get denied right away. And 10 things off, this text comes in 960-960. I used to work with a guy that made eggs in a George Foreman at work. Smelly and disgusting. Eggs wouldn't be good. But again, that guy's brought in his own George Foreman. You can't really argue with what he's doing. That guy is going full out for his meal, and I appreciate it. So yeah, that was us airing office grievances on the air. Thanks to Brody for sticking around. You can use that next week, pal.
Bet. I'm going to make it happen.
For Brody on the Beat. Brody on the Beat every Friday? Thursday? Friday?
Every Thursday, and I think it's officially at 7:30 now.
Wow.
Yeah,
congratulations.
We got our own time slot.
Look at you. Making big waves, Rhodes. thanks to Caitlin McGrath and Peter Labardius for joining us on the program today. We'll be back tomorrow on a Flames game day. Flames and the Golden Knights once again. Coming up next, Hockey Central 960 with Haley Salvin. You don't want to miss it. Keep it tuned here on Sportsnet 960, The Fan.